Well, as we continue in worship, we want to hear the Lord's word spoken to us. And so in just a moment, we'll read our sermon text for this morning, which is the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This morning, we are looking at the request, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, what we'll see is that this request, "Give us this day our daily bread," really is kind of a hard turn from the first three requests that we looked at last week. The request that God's name be hallowed, that His kingdom would come, that His will would be done, right? These are all enormous, earth-changing kind of requests. And then Jesus turns to this small request, "Give us this day our daily bread." And yet, as I have been studying and praying over these words this week, I believe that these words have much to teach us about how we are to come to God. And so, Jen, if you'd come forward now to read our scripture as we engage with God's word.
Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Pray then like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Now, on one level, as we think of this request, "Give us this day our daily bread," many commentators say this might be the one line of the Lord's Prayer that we don't need to be taught to pray, right? This is the way that we all kind of naturally cry out to God, right? When we need something, we know to go to God and ask for that thing we need. And yet, as I was studying this request this week, "Give us this day our daily bread," it just struck me as being profound on a number of different levels, counterintuitive even. In fact, as I thought more about this request, "Give us this day our daily bread," I thought of a number of reasons why I myself, in my flesh, would rather not pray this way. Reasons why I could think that, "Lord, I don't think I should pray this way." And yet, of course, this is the Lord Jesus, is it not, teaching us to pray these words? And so naturally, He is right and I am wrong. And so as I bring this message from God's word to you this morning, what I'd like to do is just to kind of take you through my thought process, take you through the reasons why it does not make sense to my flesh, to my heart, to pray in this way. And yet, as I studied more and more, the reasons why the Lord's wisdom is indeed superior to my own, why it is good for us to pray this way, why it does actually grate against our flesh, grate against our a common sense kind of way of thinking about God in life, and yet how we can learn a great deal by entering into the kind of prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray when He teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, there's three big objections, three big kind of problems I have with Jesus teaching us to pray in this way that, again, the Lord's word undermines at every turn. But let me just tell you what the three are, and then we'll walk them through one by one. The first reason why praying this way seems foolish is because praying this way seems unnecessary. After all, can't we provide bread for ourselves? And even if we can't provide bread for ourselves, doesn't God promise to provide what we need even if we don't ask? So why does Jesus tell us to ask for something that God's already going to provide? It seems unnecessary, right? That's my first kind of objection to praying in this way. The second reason why it seems problematic to pray in this way is that it seems enormously small, right? Again, Jesus just taught us to pray, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We talked about the cosmic purposes of God to establish His kingdom. And now Jesus tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," right? I mean, what could be more basic? What could be less earth-changing than to pray that we would have daily bread, right? So that also seems confusing to me. Why would Jesus instruct us to ask for something so simple, so inconsequential? And then the last problem that came to my mind for praying in this way is it seems so terribly unspiritual. I mean, again, God could provide us our daily bread every single day of our lives. And guess what? At the end of our lives, we could still die and go to hell. I mean, it's having daily bread is not saving. So why does it matter if we get daily bread? Surely, God, you have more important things for us than just daily bread, right? More spiritual things, things that redound to eternal life. And so these are the three big categories of objections in my mind to this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. So let's see how God's word undermines or addresses these concerns. Again, the first objection that I had to praying in this way is that this prayer seems unnecessary. It seems unnecessary on two counts. Again, first, because we think that we can provide daily bread for ourselves. You know, most of us have jobs we go to each day, or we have some other sort of income. You know, we get that income, we go to the grocery store, we get bread, problem solved, right? Why do we need to ask God for this bread? That's the first reason why it seems unnecessary. Second reason why it seems unnecessary is because God gives daily bread to everyone, right? I mean, even just in the previous chapter of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that God makes the sun to rise and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the evil and the good. So why are we asking God to do something that it seems is in his heart to do anyways? Now, in this, we learn two profound lessons for prayer, I think. Two profound lessons for prayer. The first thing we learn is that in our petitions to God, like asking God to give us our daily bread, often, maybe even always, what we're trying to do is not somehow twist God's arm, right? We're not trying to, like, change the will of God as if he didn't want to give us bread, but now, because we're asking, now he's going to give us bread. No, what we're doing mostly in prayer is we're allowing our hearts, we're allowing our lives, we're allowing our minds to bring God into the rhythm of our lives, the needs of our lives, what is going on in our lives. You see, God is involved in the life of every single human being on earth, whether for blessing or for judgment. God is watching over all things. If God were to cease to watch over all things, then all things would fly apart in a moment. God is the one who holds all things together. And yet, in our day-to-day lives, we don't think about that very much, do we? In our day-to-day lives, again, we think that, no, the sun rose because that's what the sun does. You know, the rain falls because that's what the rain does. My car started because that's what the car does. I'm breathing right now because that's what my lungs do. We just think that all these things happen automatically, that there's no higher power that we need to appeal to, that we need to give thanks to, because all of these things happen as they are supposed to. And yet what Jesus is drawing our attention to is that these things are not automatic. We can't just take for granted that the world works in a certain way. It is God's good hand that makes the world to work in the way that it works. In our modern day, where we have such a great understanding of science and the natural laws of physics, it's easy for us just to kind of leave God out of the picture, think that these natural scientific laws are just kind of taking care of everything. And therefore, what kind of gratitude do we need to give to God? What kind of praise do we need to give to God? And yet, these natural laws themselves are just expressions of the faithfulness, of the steadfast love of God. I mean, we should be amazed that God is so consistent, so faithful, that we can actually come up with mathematical equations that describe exactly how he will act every single day of every single year, year after year for thousands of years. This is how God is running the world. This is how constant he is, how steadfast he is. And so when we even think of something like bread, we can't take for granted that it just kind of happens all by itself. We must understand that it is due to the faithfulness of God. We also have to see that our own efforts cannot ultimately provide our daily bread. I mean, maybe in some limited way, you could say our own efforts can give us money and our own efforts can get us a vehicle to get us to the grocery store to get bread. Maybe that part, you could say, we take care of for ourselves, although, of course, even there, God's grace is shot through every part of it. And yet, do you ever pause to consider how that bread makes it to the grocery store shelves? I mean, what is needed for wheat to be grown, for wheat to be ground into flour, for flour to be made into bread, for the bread to make it to the grocery store shelves? Again, we think that all of this stuff just somehow kind of happens automatically. I always remember meeting a little kid once from New York City who thought that milk was made in a factory, didn't realize that it came from cows, right? And all of us can so easily slip into that way of thinking that our very bread, our very daily sustenance isn't somehow part of the natural world that God must take care of, that God must sustain, but is rather something that we can produce for ourselves. Martin Luther came up with a nice little poem, I thought, to illustrate this reality. He says, "Back of the loaf is the snowy flour, and back of the flour the mill, and back of the mill is the wheat and the shower, and the sun and the Father's will." You see, even the bread that we have, even with all the high technology we have, all the irrigation systems that we have, all of these things, if God were to withhold rain from the earth for even a month, there would be no more bread left. There would be no more food left on the earth. God must provide the showers. He must provide the sun if we are to have anything. And so in that way, praying this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," what it does is it helps us to not take for granted something that we must not take for granted. It helps us to see how God himself is shot through even with the very most basic necessity that we have every day. It's a call to be filled with gratitude, filled with wonder at the constancy of God who would give us our bread day after day after day. And again, you don't have to pray this. God's going to give you bread if you pray it or not. But if you don't pray this, what do you miss out on? You miss out on recognizing reality. You miss out on a heart full of gratitude, full of wonder at God. Beloved, this is most essentially what prayer is for. Again, God is a good God. He has the end planned from the beginning. What God asks us to do in prayer is he asks us to participate. He asks us to take part in, to see with our own eyes what he is doing. If you don't pray, you miss out on that privilege. If you don't pray, you think that your own hand is accomplishing everything. If you don't pray, you think that you can take care of yourself. When you do pray, you realize how God is over all, in all, through all. You get a heart of gratitude and a heart of wonder at what God is doing in providing for our daily needs. So again, even though maybe from our fleshly wisdom it seems unnecessary to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," nevertheless, Jesus is infinitely wise in teaching us to pray this way. And if you don't feel like praying this way, as again, I in my flesh often don't feel like praying this way, train your heart to pray this way. Take time to pray each day, "Give me this day my daily bread," and consider, as you pray those words, consider what goes into that daily bread that goes onto your plate, and give thanks to God. So that's the first objection that I had to praying in this way. The second objection that I had to praying in this way is that it seems very small. Again, it seems like when we pray to the God of the universe, we should pray exceedingly large things, right? We should ask big requests. I love the quote of the missionary William Carey, pursue great things for God, expect great things from God. It wasn't pursue for the first word, but it was something to that effect. But William Carey taught us that we should expect God to do great things. William Carey was a missionary to India when there were no Christians in India, and he was praying that God would convert the whole nation of India to the Lord Jesus. He's praying these enormous prayers to God, and I think we should also pray enormous prayers to God. Again, even the first three requests of the Lord's Prayer are enormous prayers to God. And so then we have to ask this question, well, again, what gives in this change of tone? What gives in all of a sudden praying for our daily bread? Why pray in this way? Why not just pray these enormous earth-changing prayers? Well, the first and most profound reason, I think, why Jesus teaches us to pray in this way is that this prayer for daily bread reminds us immediately that we are the creature and God alone is the creator. We are the creature. We are small. We are dependent. God alone is independent. God alone is creator. God alone can sustain himself. See, I think as Christians, especially again when we think of the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we start to think that God expects us to totally change the world, that God expects us to go out and to convert thousands. And if we aren't doing that, then somehow we're sinful, right? Somehow we're in the wrong. Somehow we're doing less than what God expects us to be doing. So many times we can feel guilty for even things like having to go to sleep, right? Having to eat three times a day. Not being able to think hard for the full time that we're awake. We think that something is wrong with us, right? That we need God's forgiveness for how we can't keep up the pace that we should be keeping up. And yet when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus is showing us that God knows our frame, as the psalmist says. He remembers that we are dust. God knows that we cannot make it a single day. We pray for daily bread. We cannot make it a single day without bread. Now, yes, I know you can fast for a while. You know, you can even fast for 40 days and you can still be fine, but you can't do it twice in a row, right? And after you fast for 40 days, you better take bread every day for a while. Most of us, to be healthy, functional human beings, we need bread every day. In this way, what our daily bread reminds us of is our dependence upon God. It reminds us of how we must go to God for everything we need. Bread is the most basic staple that there is. It was the most basic staple in Jesus' time. It's where people got majority of their calories from. And even today in modern America, bread is one of our most basic staples. And so when we pray for daily bread, we're saying, God, I need you for even the most simple thing in life. And I don't just need you, you know, once to give it to me. I need you to give it to me every single day. God delights in the fact that we are creatures. He delights in the fact that we are humans and we are dependent on him. If he wanted to create us as some kind of being that could stand on our own, he could have created us like that, but he didn't. He created us as people who have to eat, who have to sleep, who have to keep our bodies healthy in a variety of ways. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're understanding that God wants us to feel small. He wants us to walk in everyday dependence upon him, never saying, even for the most basic thing, that, no, it's okay, God, I can take care of myself. No, you don't have to do this one, God, I'll take care of it. To any degree that we do that, we are simply denying reality. We are weak creatures, and we must depend upon God for everything. God himself shows us that this weakness is not a sin, most profoundly in sending his own Son, the Son of God, the second person as a Trinity, to come as a man, to come as a human being. Have you ever considered that when Jesus himself walked the earth, he had to sleep, he had to eat, he had to have friendships and have loving relationships, he had to have every last physical need met that we ourselves have. Consider that at one time, Jesus was a toddler who could not even feed himself. He had to have his mother or his father feed him. He had to have his mother or his father hold his hand while he learned how to walk. God delights in this sort of weakness, delights in this sort of frailty. If you feel weak, if you feel frail, you are not in any way offensive to God. God is not telling you to get a spine or to grow up or to be strong. God is telling you, look to me. I will support you. I will support you every single day. So often we try to get around our weaknesses in a whole variety of ways, right? We don't like to ask for help from others. We like to figure it out ourselves. To a great extent, our modern technology, you know, having things like search engines, you know, the whole design is that, no, now I can figure it out myself. I don't need to go ask anybody else. We think that we can know anything, you know, just by Googling it. We don't like our limitations. And yet by praying, give us this day our daily bread, we are reminded precisely of those limitations. We are reminded that God approves of those limitations, that he smiles upon those limitations, and that those limitations are themselves a pathway to knowing God in his fullness. The third and last objection that I had to praying in this way, give us this day our daily bread, it is it seems extremely unspiritual. Again, the whole of Scripture is concerned with spiritual things. Spiritual things are what Jesus came to reveal to us. Jesus sends his Spirit to us so that we can understand spiritual things, so that we can engage in, have our eyes open to spiritual reality. The Apostle Paul says, our enemy is not flesh and blood, but spiritual forces in the heavenly places. I think we all understand that the most profound battles in life and the most important realities in life are spiritual realities. And yet, again, Jesus here kind of defies our expectation, defies our notions of human grandeur, right? Human accomplishment, by telling us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So how can it possibly be good for us to pray for just a purely physical need, when we know that our own soul is at war, when we know that other people's souls hang in the balance of our activity? Why should we take time to pray for daily bread when we could be out engaging in massive spiritual warfare? Well, I think the first reason is one that I just alluded to in my previous answer, and that is that the physical needs of our body are intended to train us as to the spiritual needs of our souls. So when we recognize our need for food every day, this is kind of like a visual metaphor, a visual picture of a spiritual reality. If we would be willing to admit to God and not be ashamed of, not begrudge him, to say, yes, Lord, I need food every day. In fact, I need 3 meals every day. And if we would just kind of admit that to God, well, that itself puts us in a heart posture. It gives us a spiritual posture of dependence upon God. If we recognize that our bodies need food every day, how much more should we be able to confess that our spirits need God every day? That our souls need wisdom every day? If we cannot admit to the bodily reality of our need, how are we supposed to be able to admit to the spiritual reality of our need? And so the first way that I think this objection is addressed is just by seeing that the physical, what we can see with our eyes, has to come first. And if that comes, then the spiritual can come after that. But second, I don't think that this prayer for daily bread is exclusively a prayer for what we physically need. Now, I think it is primarily a prayer for what we physically need. If you look at Presbyterian catechisms, if you look at the Lutheran catechism, when it's teaching people to pray, give us this day our daily bread, the main thing you are to pray for is just that, daily bread, what we need to live each day, including praying for things like, Lord, help my heart to beat, help my lungs to work, help my mind to stay sane, right? These very physical needs that we have, that is the primary thing that we are to pray. And yet, in Scripture, words are never quite so simple. When Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, that word bread is loaded with meaning. That word bread is loaded with meaning from all that has come before in Scripture and even from Jesus' own ministry. After all, one of the verses that every good Israelite was to commit to memory is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Indeed, if you just flip over one page in your Bible, you could stay in Matthew chapter 6. But Matthew 6, verses 25 to 33, listen to what Jesus says about bread here. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, these physical things, will be added to you." So you can see the tension that Jesus expresses there. There's a life that's primarily focused on seeking earthly things, right? Seeking the food that we need, the clothes that we wear. Or there's a life spent seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus says that if we choose the latter, if we choose to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to us. And so I take from this that there is a way of asking for daily bread, whereas if you have this very narrow definition of bread in mind, like, "Lord, all I want you to do is just give me food. That's all I want." If that's your mindset and you're only seeking these earthly provisions, then you are not understanding what your soul most truly and desperately needs. And what your soul most truly and desperately needs is God himself. God himself reveals himself primarily in his word, in this Bible that we are so fortunate to have on our shelves. And so if we want daily food for our souls, and if we're asking God to give us daily bread, we also ought to be opening the word every day, asking God, "Lord, reveal yourself to me in your word. My soul needs food today. Would you teach me your word?" But God's word itself points to an even greater reality. God's word points to the word made flesh. In John chapter 6, verses 48 to 51, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." And then he reminds these Israelites of a story from the Old Testament. He says, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." You see, Jesus came not just to give bread, not just to supply us the daily sustenance we need, although again, God so faithfully does that. Jesus also came to be bread to us. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," yes, we are admitting that we are small creatures and we look to God to provide even our most basic needs. But we're also reminding ourselves that we need a much more profound and substantial bread than any physical bread that this world could afford. What we need is our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need his body broken for us. We need his flesh itself to be our bread so that we will live and not die. You see, every human on earth, even if they eat physical bread every day of their life, the day will come when it will not sustain them anymore. They will perish. They will die. But for those who feed upon Jesus Christ, that means those who trust in him, those who look to him to satisfy the longings of the heart, they will find that even if they die, they will yet live. They will be raised from the dead and live forever with God in his heavenly kingdom. And so, beloved, let us look to that bread above all, even as we ask God to supply our daily physical bread and trust him to do so. Let's see that Jesus is that most essential bread that we all so desperately need. Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for teaching us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, again, we confess that this kicks against our pride that wants to say that, no, we can take care of our own daily bread. Lord, would you teach us how weak we are? Would you teach us how dependent we are on you and on your grace? Would you give us hearts of enormous gratitude, enormous thanks for you, for how consistently you provide our daily bread, Lord? Would we just be in awe of that and not take it for granted? And Lord, most of all, would you teach us that we need the bread of your Son? We need the bread that has come down from heaven, even Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we turn our hearts, as we turn our minds now to the Lord's Supper, I pray that you would help us to perceive, even in the physical bread that we're about to eat, help us to perceive the spiritual bread that did come down to heaven, down from heaven to give his life for us. And in that way, Lord, I pray that we would get that life that lasts eternally, that wells up to give life to all. And would you satisfy us, Lord, with your steadfast love in Jesus Christ and the bread that he gives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.